Okay, Bechoros daf Chesamid Beis, still in the Agaritas of the sages of the Academy of Athens, right? The great philosophers of Athens, and they're bothering Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya about all of, you know, all of these crazy riddles and questions. And each one is really the yisod of each riddle is that they're trying to poke fun at Klal Yisrael. Again, keep in mind that Athens, Rome. We're talking about Churban Bayis Sheni. We're talking about Gullus. We're talking about where we are today. We're talking about Aristotle and the words, right? So they're essentially trying to... It's not just an intellectual debate. They're trying to crush the Jewish spirit by making fun of different things. And Rabbi Yeshua always has an answer where he shows that even when it looks like Klal Yisrael is on the bottom, we're really on top. So here's an excellent example of that. They asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Mitziase da Alm Lehecha, where is the midpoint of the world? Where's the middle of the world? Zakva ledzvase, avalehu hacha. So he, it's okay. If he lifted up his fingers and he said, "Here," right? Pointed right there. Where's the middle of the world? Right here. Amalei umiyemar. So he said back to him, "Prove it." Who says? So he said back to them, "Aisi ashlei umashchu. Bring ropes and measure, and you'll see for yourself." Right here is the midpoint of the world. How do you know? Yeah, measure it yourself. What's the pshat? Okay. So let me just tell you outside for a second, and I'll try desperately to find it in the words. But essentially what they're asking is, if Rome is so dominant, if the Academy of Athens has dominated the yeshiva of Knesset Yisrael, right? So what's going to be with Mashiach? That's what they're really asking. What's going to be with Mashiach? Now, why they're calling that the midpoint? Shalom of Kobe. Why they're calling that the midpoint of the world? We'll see. Right? But essentially, they're saying it doesn't seem to us, based on the trajectory of world history, that Mashiach is going to come. In other words, if we've sort of crossed the midpoint of time, and there's no sign of Mashiach, then I guess the idea of Mashiach is bottle of growth. Right? The majority of time has passed and there's no Mashiach, so what makes me think it's ever going to change? So Mitziyasa da Al Mahecha says the Gra, Ha'inin Kamosha Amra la Pasuk. It says, one of the biggest enemies of Klal Yisrael, Bilam. It says about the Jewish people, or says about sort of the end of days. Ka'is ye Omer li Yaakov ma pa'al kel. And there's a lot of ways to read this Pasuk, in Pshat, in Penelius. But I think the basic idea is Ke'is ye Omer li Yaakov ma pa'akel. The time is going to come when they say to Yaakov, when they say to Knesset Yisrael, they say to the Jewish people, Nu ma pa'akel. What has your God done? In other words, how's it going? How's Yiddishkeit going? Right? How's world history working out for you Jews? Ma pa'akel. Ratzalomar Ke'is, from this time. Again, the Romans are speaking from their point in Jewish history. Mitchilas ha'olam ad yemos ha-mashiach. Kein yemos ha-mashiach. Dot, dot, dot. Then we got to read a little bit between the lines. There's a lot we have to figure out here. So first, look at footnote 775. It quotes from Avos Derbi Nasan on this pasuk. Ke'eis ye'amar li'yakov li'yisrael ma'pa al-kel. Second line. Kach amar ha-kadosh baruch hu le'bilam ha-rasha. Ka'eis v'lo ba'eis. Ha'es means what? Bilam says, no, I'm looking at the clock and it doesn't look like Mashiach said. It doesn't look like salvation's happening. It doesn't look like the Jewish people are going to be successful. And Hashem says, whoa, you think it's this moment? It'll be like this moment. The time will come. Right? There will be a moment similar to this moment when you also have the same question, how could it be Mashiach's going to come? And it actually will come. But lo be'es sha'ata omed besocha. It's not going to be on your schedule. It's not going to be... It's not going to be on your understanding of things. Ela ke'eis sha'ani asid lasos lehem ge'ula liyisrael. So the mocker is always going to look and say, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'nahafachu. Right? Always flips the script. It didn't look good for the Jews in Shushan and the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu flipped the script. It didn't look good for the Jews in Mitzrayim. Major underdogs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu flipped the script. So when the nations of the world poke fun and say, really, you think your understanding of how things are progressing in time, this makes sense to you, that it's going to end up a certain way? To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, you have your understanding of time, and I'm going to show you how time actually operates. Okay, let's go back up top. What do the words say? Ratzalom, our third line. Ke'eis mitchilas ha'olam ad yemos ha'mashiach, kein yemos ha'mashiach. What does that mean? From the beginning of the world until the yemos ha'mashiach, so too the yemos ha'mashiach. How long does the world last? We're in 5, 7, 8, 6,000 years. How does the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Avodah Zarah Daf Tes break it down? 2,000, 2,000, 2,000. What are the first 2,000 years? Gemara says, Tohu Vavohu, craziness, chaos. What are the second set of 2,000 years? Torah, the primary years of Torah. We're learning Torah right now, 5, 7, 8, 2. Right, but the primary years of the development of Torah is from the year 2,000 to 4,000. What's 4,000 to 6,000? What we call the Yemos HaMashiach. You'll ask a Kasha. We're in 5, 7, 8, 2, and it's not Mashiach yet. The Gemara says, good Kasha. Gemara already asked the Kasha next time and said, we're running behind schedule. But the roadmap, the blueprint of creation was supposed to be 2,000 of Tohu, 2,000 of Torah, 2,000 of Mashiach. So what the Gra is saying, Ka'es, mitchilas ha'olam ad yemos ha'mashiach, kein yemos ha'mashiach. From the beginning of the world until Mashiach, so too from Mashiach till the end. Now, we said it's 2,000, 2,000, 2,000. The sages of Athens are asking, you know, where's the midpoint of the world? So again, we could talk about the world as being a geographical location. We could talk about the world as being those 6,000 years. So where's the midpoint of the 6,000 years? You'll say 3,000. Right? That's not right. Because the first 2,000 years were such utter chaos that they don't even count. Which means the midpoint is where? Is as we end the 2,000 years of Torah and start the 2,000 years of Mashiach. So the sages of Athens are asking, but what's with the midpoint of the world? In other words, you Jews have a tradition that when you get to the year 4,000, there's supposed to be a transition towards Mashiach. Right? No, what's with the midpoint of the world? Well, why did Mashiach come? They're saying it's not really true. The plan is not true. What did you say?
This is really supposed to be another 2,000?
What do you mean?
Meaning if we're saying that Mashiach...
We're basically cutting 6, off the first 2,000.
Right, so then does that mean that we add another...
No, we're saying the first 2,000 don't count. It's almost as if the clock didn't start. Right? But of the 4,000 productive years of world history, the 2,000 of Torah and 2,000 of Mashiach, of those 4,000... Right, the end of the Torah period, where it's supposed to transition to Mashiach, is sort of where the sages of Athens are mocking and saying, "No, what's at the midpoint of the world? Where's the transition? Where's Mashiach? There's no Mashiach. We're in charge. Rome's in charge. Jewish people on the bottom. Esav's on top. Right? Yisrael's on the bottom. Your Beis HaMikdash is going down. You're going to be exiled amongst the nations of the world. The Jewish people, you never the promise of Mashiach never came true. That midpoint transition." Right, that midterm transition never happened. Yeah? What do you say?
Quick question.
Yeah, go ahead.
After the 2,000 years of Mashiach, like what?
Then you transition to Olam Haba. Olam Haba. There's different cheshbonos exactly what happens at 6,000. Maybe there's another 1,000 years of transition, and then maybe Yom Shekul Shabbos, Me'ein Olam Haba. Then it's, you know, Olam Haba forever. Or maybe immediately at the end of Mashiach, Kodesh Baruch Hu ends the Yemos HaMashiach. And then those Jews who are worthy, all of us, Kol Yisrael Yisham Chelek Olam Haba, right? We get to transition to Olam Haba. Okay, but that's what the sages of Athens are poking fun at, are asking, right? What happened to that transition? Okay? Now again, what we're saying here is there's a balance here. There's supposed to be 2,000 years of Torah, and so too 2,000 years of Mashiach. So from the beginning, again the words, Mitchilas HaOlam Ad Yemos HaMashiach, from the beginning of the world, that means from the year 2000. The first 2,000 years we're cutting off. We're going to cut off. But from the time the world had a purpose, had productivity, had structure, from there until Mashiach is supposed to be equal. Ukumosha nemar, samchenu kimos inisanu. Right? The Pasuk says, David Melech says, we should be zoche to experience joy like we experienced hardship. Shelachen hayom v'halayla shavin. There's a balance. There's a balance of power. For all the amount of time you'd never had Mashiach, there should be an equal amount of time that you did have Mashiach. And therefore, the sages of Athens are saying, the second you cross that midway point, you're cutting into the time of Mashiach. Right? It's not even. It's not fair. In other words, God doesn't keep his promises. So night and day are supposed to be equal. Nisan and Tishrei, Shehem Zmani HaGu'ula, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, HaGolis VaGu'ula, the period of Golis, which is Laila, the period of Ge'ula, which is day, are supposed to be balanced. So now, everything we just explained outside, let's read it in the second paragraph inside. V'zeu Sha'amru, this is what the Gemara says. Again, it's on Sanhedrin Tzadi Zayin and Avodah Zarah Daf Tes. Ha'olam Sheshes Alafim Shana. The world is 6,000 years. Shnei Alafim Tohu. The first 2,000 years are chaos. Ki'ilu, it didn't even start yet. Ratzolomer She'eino Nechshav V'minyan Ha'olam, says the Gemara. We don't count the first 2,000 years. Right? Before there's Torah, there's not even life. Kihim chayenu v'rachemenu. Now again, when was the Torah given? Not in the year 2000. What happened in the year 2000? Why is that called the beginning of Torah? It's important to know this. The Gemara. Batan Torah is 2448 from creation. Avram Avinu, who was born in 1948, is 52 years old. My high, 52 years old. The Gemara says when Avram was 52, in the year 2000, he started preaching and teaching monotheism to the world. So that's considered the beginning of Torah. Right? Avram knew Kol Torah Kula. Avram kept all the mitzvahs, the Gemara says. So from the year 2000, when Avram became the first Rebbe of Torah, teaching Torah to the world, maybe he found God at age 3. But you see from that, until you teach Torah, there's no Torah. You keep Torah to yourself, but you haven't entered into Torah. Once Avram becomes a teacher of Torah in the year 2000, then the clock starts. So the Tohu years are not even counted as part of existence. V'zeu sh'amru Tohu. Total chaos. Shnei alafim Torah, shnei alafim Yumos Mashiach. Those 4,000 are the real years of, again, productivity in the world. 2,000 of Torah and 2,000 of Mashiach. And as the Gemara says, Rak v'avonoseinu shiyatsu mashiyatsu. But because of our sins, what's lost is lost. In other words, Chazal themselves, who have this tradition, acknowledge the fact that we're running behind schedule. We have failed to bring Mashiach. Now, the sages of Athens, again, the same way that Ahasuerus is making his party because he thinks the 70 years of Golas are up, and if God's running behind schedule, that means what? That means, I guess, God forgot about the Jews, and he was just off. Ahasuerus' calculation was off. So similarly here, the sages of Athens think if in the midpoint of the world, if in the year 4,000, right, as you start, again, those last 2,000 years, if Mashiach didn't come, then I guess God has abandoned you. And again, Rome, Athens, they're on top. Right? Who simenly amos hagishamim, shahalayla meruba mehayom. It's like the winter time, where what? Where it's cold and it's rainy, and darkness seems to dominate. So what they're saying is essentially, yeah, it doesn't look like Mashiach is going to happen. V'zeu sha'amru. And this is what we find in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Let's go back, let's bring it back to really the starting point of creation, that Adam HaRishon eats from a tree. He gives into the deception of the Nachash. He succumbs to the temptation of the Nachash. And Adam sees that what? That it's getting darker and darker and darker. And he thinks, oh my gosh, I extinguished the light of the world. Shira Adam HaRishon b'tkufas Tishrei shayam miskatzim. He saw, right, as you get deeper and deeper into winter, and there just seems to be less and less daylight, Amar Shema Chas V'Sholom Olam Choshech Ba'adi. Adam says, maybe the world has grown dark because of me. Maybe I've extinguished the light of the world. In other words, Chavar, what he's saying is, maybe if you missed the boat, if you didn't bring Mashiach in the year 4000, then you can forget about that idea called Mashiach. Adam thought, Shalo Ye Yom Klal, right? At this rate, it's just going to get darker, and then more dark, and then more dark, and more dark, until there's no light left at all. Adam didn't realize that the calendar is going to shift, and one day the light will rise again. So it looks like it's getting darker. Shalo Yatzu Chas V'Shalom Me'Golus. Maybe we're never going to get out of Golus. Right? And it's true, there's a Yerida Sadoros. We look at our world today. The Tzadikim said, the Shem Bishmuel said, Chanukah is the Yom Tov that gets better every year, because as the world gets darker, the light of the Ner Chanukah gets brighter. But that aura of Melech Mashiach becomes hard to even imagine. It's so dark. Right? The light's being extinguished. And of course, when Adam HaRishon saw that eventually the light started to come back, Asam Yamim Tovim, he made a celebration. Hu Kavim L'Shem Shemayim, he made days of celebration, thanking Hashem for giving him another chance, for giving him hope. And of course, those winter hales, as the winter starts to part, heim kavum levodazar. The nations of the world took Adam HaRishon's holidays and made them into all sorts of pagan holidays. But really, the story of Adam HaRishon is a microcosm for all of us. Adam had awesome potential. He messed it up. He thought he missed the boat. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, it's not too late to turn it around. He saw Shero Shalayla Maruba Mehayom. He saw that darkness seems to be dominating day. V'zeh Rishon L'chulei Dehem. And that became, again, that becomes their source of celebration. Right? Why is the Christian holiday? Why is the Roman holiday? Why is it in the dead of winter? Because it's a celebration of the darkness of Rome dominating the Ur of Torah. That's what Xmas is. That's what they're celebrating. V'zeh Sha'amra Mitziosa Da'al Neheicha. So that's what the sages of Athens are saying. Nu, where's the middle of the world? You guys never made it. If you would have done Torah right, maybe you would have been Zoicha to transition to Mashiach. But from the fact that Mashiach never came, it means your Torah was never real. And that's it. You blew it. Right? Hera emtza shel yemos ha'olam. They pointed to the midpoint of the world. Again, the midpoint of the world. Excluding the first 2,000 years, the midpoint is the point where the period of Torah ends, the period of Mashiach is supposed to begin. So what does he say back to them? What do you say? What does the underdog say? Rabbi Shuv and Hanani on trial. What does he say to the dominant academies of Athens? Yeah.
Wait, what does the winter darkness have to do with this?
Because when Adam HaRishon sinned, right, the world started to get darker.
Maybe before
and he thought, Adam HaRishon thought, right, he thought, oh my gosh, I extinguished my Averus, caused the light to go out, and it's just going to get darker and darker and darker and darker. It's never going to reverse. So eventually he saw that there was, you know, some type of calendar and some type of shift in the seasons, and he realized that the light is going to return. So that, whatever was going on with Adam's own, you know, anxieties about ruining the world is sort of how a Jew feels, right? Like, we had an opportunity to bring Mashiach, and we didn't. And at a certain point, you start to say, like, it's so dark out there, the world is so broken, it's impossible to even imagine what Mashiach would look like. How could there be Mashiach at this point? Right? If the Vilna Gaon couldn't bring it, and the Baal Shem Tov couldn't bring it, and the Chafetz Chaim couldn't bring it, and all the tzaddikim throughout all the doors couldn't bring it, so the Yetzer Hara is laughing at us, saying, you missed the boat. You can't, right? We're like Adam Rishon, who just thinks the world's going to get darker and darker and darker, until that's it. There'll never be a Geula. So what does Rabbi Yishuv and Hananiah do? Amar lehu hacha. What does he say to them? You want to know where Mashiach is? It's right here. Right where? Who's he pointing at? Or who's he pointing to? He's basically pointing to them. He's pointing back at the Romans who are laughing at him and saying, I guess you Jews missed the boat. And he says, no. Your power, your authority, the thing that you think indicates that Mashiach never will be, is the biggest proof that Mashiach will be. In fact, your dominion, your power, your authority, your Roman values, right, are actually going to usher in the Messianic era. So you think, oh, look how we've put a blockage on Mashiach. No. You're paving the way for Mashiach. How so? The Isa, because the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that there's actually two tracks to Mashiach. Yes, what we call in our mind, some objective sense, the ideal track is what? That we're really good Jews. We learn Torah properly. And in the year 4000, because we've absorbed and learned Torah properly, and we've nurtured our soul and our character properly, so the year 4000, Mashiach arrives. That's one way to get the Mashiach. And the Romans said, you didn't do that. So I guess game over. What was the other way to get the Mashiach? The other way to get the Mashiach is where Hashem says, I'm the Baal Basir. And I don't care what the odds are. I don't care what I don't care what the spread is. I don't care what people are predicting or saying. None of it impresses me. In fact, I'm almost going to let, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm almost going to let Rome think that they're in charge. I'm going to let it get darker and darker and darker. I'm going to let, take the Mitzrayim, Mashal. I'm going to let the Jews fall to the 49th level of Tumah, to the point where it seems least likely that they're ever going to get out of Mitzrayim, and Dafka from that place, Vina Hafachu. I'm going to let Haman think that he's got the ultimate plan to destroy Klal Yisrael. He's got the ring, he's got the power, he's got the authority, the letters have been sent. There's nothing the Jewish people can do. Vina hafachu, not a single Jew is killed. The whole thing gets turned around. I'm going to let it look like what? Like so many Yidden are losing their Amunah, and the level of Torah is weaker than ever, and the taivas of the world are stronger than ever, and the street is darker than ever. The values of the world is darker and darker and darker, and Hashem is laughing his way all the way to Mashiach, saying, that's another path to Mashiach. You Romans, you thought the only path to Mashiach is if the Jewish people behave properly, then they'll get to Mashiach. But now that Rome's in charge, right? You think you're going to push Hashem out? You think you can override Hashem's master plan? Give me just half a second, Kobe. The Isa ain ben David ba achet hafe hamalchus kulo laminus. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that one of the ways that Mashiach comes, ben David comes, when the entire government is turned to heresy. You're worried, who's going to be president, what's going to be, what does it mean for the world? Hashem is laughing. Hashem says, all the people, all these puppets who I use to put on a good performance, that's all it is. When the government turns, when no one can be trusted, when there's such a sense of distrust in the world, right, that heresy becomes popularized. When it's no longer the same dollar bill in your back pocket that says, in God we trust. Right? When people would say that if we were printing money today, we would never write that in our God. It's such a controversial idea. It was once an accepted idea. By all human beings. No, it's crazy. God. So when the whole government, when the whole world, when the world powers turn to minus, to heresy, dafka there, Mashiach comes. And Rava says, what's the source? Shenamar kulo hafach lavan tahor. When a person is completely covered in white, in saras, right, then, even though it looks like it's all tzaras, it's the ultimate tumah. No, the ultimate tumah brings out the ultimate tara. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu reminds us that he's the Baal HaBas. That he runs the world. So when Haman, you look like it's going to be the most Shrek Lech day for Klal Yisrael ever, the biggest day of mourning in history, becomes the biggest day of Simcha in history. Purim. Vina Hafachu. The whole thing gets flipped on its head. What do you want to say?
It seems like that description of like the darkest of times, and that's when Mashiach can come and
break through.
Pretty much like the Holocaust.
Yeah. Kind of hard to interpret the suffering of the Jewish people. You would think it couldn't get really much darker than that, right? Maybe there were signs of redemption that came afterwards. Who knows? Who knows how to interpret it? The bottom line is Mashiach isn't here yet, and it seems in some ways that the world is getting crazier and crazier, and certainly the governments of the world are becoming more, controlling and power-hungry and corrupt. And Hashem says, don't worry, when it gets to the worst point, when you're on the 49th level of Tumah, that's when you get out of Mitzrayim.
Can we still have the other way, though?
That's an interesting Shaila. Right? Meaning at this point, should we all just go off the derech to speed up the process? Right? Meaning, is there a way to get us, right? Can we undo? I'm not really sure how to answer that. I can't say that. It would be foolish to say, listen, no. Right, but aren't we delaying the inevitable by trying to be, B'nai Torah? Right?
I think we're trying.
What'd you say?
I think we're trying, yeah.
Who knows? Who knows what the master plan is? But when the Yitzhar, when the Satan, when Athens is laughing at you and saying, you missed the boat, right? The same way Adam Rishon says, I messed up, I ate from that tree and I ruined everything. Hashem says, relax, you didn't ruin everything. There's a cycle here, things will come back around. Kula hafach levan, when you're totally covered in saras, that's dafka the moment you become tahor. When you hit rock bottom, that's sometimes when you wake up. That's really the sort of the omek hapshat of kula hafach levan. The Chavetz Chaim said, it makes no sense. If you have a little bit of white, so then you're tummy with saras. If you're covered in white, so all of a sudden you're tahor? And the answer is yes, because when you have a little bit of tzaras, you might say, oh, I don't know, maybe it's a rash, go to my dermatologist, get it checked out. Like, when you're covered in white, you know that you've got it, right? It doesn't matter what the PCR test says at that point. Like you know that you have tzaras. And you know it in such a way that how could you not respond to it, right? Meaning, I don't know, maybe it's not tzaras, maybe I didn't speak Lashon Hara, maybe it's not really tzaras. You can rationalize. When a person hits rock bottom, when he's covered in white tzaras, he knows what he did wrong. The Chavetz Chaim says, a person in that situation is vada going to do tshuva to such a degree that the Torah says he's already tahor. Because there's no way you're going to miss the message. You can't miss the message of kula hafach levan. Right? Now, what's interesting here is that, again, tzaras is levan. Levan is white. One is levan. What is pure? Interesting. We'll go a little further. Let's see what he says. Top of the next page. V'zeu sha'amru. Now let's shift gears for a couple of seconds. V'zeu sha'amru vav digachon emsa shel Torah. Sha'Torah hu ha'olam ki yadua. So the same way we said, the sages of Athens said, where is the midpoint of the world? Just a silly question, what are they asking? They weren't asking for a geographical location. They were looking at time, world history. Right? In the unfolding of world history within time, the midpoint, according to what we've explained, is that point of transition from the 2000 of Torah to the 2000 of Mashiach, and Mashiach didn't come. So another way to look at the world is let's look at the Torah. Let's look at the Torah. Because the Torah, of course, as it says in the Zohar and Parshas Truma, is Takul ba'araisa ubara alma. The Torah is the blueprint of the world. So let's look at the middle of the Torah, and let's see if we can gain some insight into our sugya. So the Gemara in Kedushin says in Daf Lamed that the vav of the word gachon, the vav of the word gachon is the middle of the letters of the Torah. What is the pasuk gachon? He quotes it for us, third line. Va'amru holech al gachon. It's a pasuk in Vayikra Yud Aleph. It says you're not allowed to eat snakes. You can't eat anything that's holech al gachon, that crawls on its belly. We know that the curse of the Nachash in Gan Eden, whatever that mysterious creature was, the Nachash in Gan Eden had reglaim, had legs. And the Nachash lost its legs. So the Gemara says, in Meseches Chulin, what is Holech Al Gachon? What is the example of one who crawls on its belly? Ze Nachash She'in Lo Reglaim. This is the snake that has no legs. She'kitetu Raglov, like Rashi tells us in Chumash, it had its legs chopped off. The original Nachash in Gan Eden had legs. And we know from Chazal, Sheker ain lo raglayim. Now, what does that mean? What's the difference between Sheker and Emes, truth and falsehood? What does it mean to have raglayim? Raglayim means that you have, if you're omeid, that means you have kiyum. That means you have what? You have existence. You have lasting power, right? If a person's exhausted, they say, I don't have legs anymore, right? They're collapsing. They're falling apart. So the Nachash, by losing its legs, was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of saying, you have nothing to stand upon. You have no kiyum. You're not lasting. Sheker sometimes seems very, very real and powerful and dominant. It seems to have the upper hand, but it never does. Right? The Sheker eventually crumbles. It could be a Sheker of a certain taiva that a person thinks is going to satisfy. It could be a Sheker of who knows what, all sorts of things. But Sheker, even a really successful Sheker, eventually falls apart. Could be a lot of people chase it for a long time until eventually people wake up and they say, you know what, it's hevel avam, it's sheker. So the nachash, holech al gachon, don't eat the nachash, is the midpoint of the Torah. Don't eat the nachash. What does that mean? What? That's the middle of the Torah. And again, if the middle is like the kishkas of the Torah, the essence of the Torah, the innermost point of the Torah, the main message of the Torah is don't eat snake. In some countries they eat snake, so don't eat snake. What's the pshat? No. It means that the nachash is sheker. Don't eat the sheker. Don't eat the lies. Don't listen to the sages of Athens. They're selling you a lie. They're telling you missed the boat. They're telling you, since you didn't do your part to bring Mashiach, since you ate from the Eitz Hadas, since you didn't learn Torah in the right way, so now the whole trajectory of humanity has been thrown off course. Don't eat the snake. Don't eat the lies. Sheker ein lo reglayim. It has no kiyum. V'cheit hanachash shekafer belohim. Right? The chait of the nachash, who denied HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who rejected Hashem. What does that mean to reject Hashem? That means the nachash says, right, that Hashem is not the Baal of us. And the ultimate response to the sages of Athens is, even if you think that you're in charge, and we messed up, and we're embarrassed, and there's part of us that wants to say, yeah, there shouldn't be Mashiach because we messed up so much. But let's not reject Hashem. Hashem could flip the script. If Hashem wants Haman to lose, Haman's going to lose. If Hashem wants Paro to lose, Paro's going to lose. If Hashem wants Western culture to eventually lose, and there to be a base of Mikdash on Har Bayis, then that's what's going to happen. Don't be kofar and elegant. Don't eat the lies of the snake. Mimenu achal ki adua. What was the lie that the snake told? Medrash says that they claimed, the snake said to Chava and Adam, you know how God became God, right? And they said, no, how did God become God? That tree he doesn't want you to eat from. He ate from this tree, and that's how he became God. If you eat from this tree, you'll also be God. What a crazy lie. And they ate it. Right? They didn't just eat the fruit. They ate the lie. Kidi'isa b'pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer. And now, our Rebbe, the Halakha of Vilna Gaon, says, and just remind yourself, This is the Purim story. But Amru, Chazal say, Haman min HaTorah minayin, one of the most intriguing and mysterious Gemaras, Chulin Kuf Lamed Tes. Where is Haman hinted to in the Torah? What kind of crazy question is that? Where is Haman hinted to in the Torah? Yeah, where's Mordechai in the Torah? Where's Esther in the Torah? Maybe the strangest question of all is, where is Moshe Rabbeinu hinted to in the Torah? Why do you need a hint to Moshe in the Torah? He's on every page of the Torah. What's the answer? Haman min HaTorah minayin, Shenemar Hamin HaEitz. When Hashem says to Adam, by the way, Adam, is it possible that Hamin HaEitz, from the tree that I told you not to eat from, is it possible you ate from it? Because the same lie, and again, I hope we're getting this right. I'm like reading a lot between the lines. I have no idea what the Vilna Gaon is saying. I'm trying to piece it together. There's probably 100 other ways to say the pshat here. But I think what the Gra is saying, the same way that the Nachash fed you some crazy lie to say that God is no different than you. You eat from this tree, you'll also be God. You could also run the world, right? We don't need God. We have science. We don't need God. We're not interested in old-fashioned values, right? So that pushing Hashem out of the picture, which the Nachash did so successfully, so to speak, in Gan Eden, is the same thing that Haman's doing. Haman's telling the Jewish people that there's zero chance you're going to survive. Every last one of you, l'hashmid, l'harog, l'apid, you're all going to be wiped out, men, women, and children. Va'inin k'moshe kasavti Megillah, the Gras, as I explained in my commentary on Megillah's Esther, ki Haman v'aseres banav heim ha-sitra achra. Haman and his 10 sons is the sitra achra, so to speak, of Hashem. Ha-nachash v'asara kisrin de-misavusa. The nachash and the 10 madrigos of Tumah. Think about it like this. The nachash, right, was sort of playing God. He was trying to overthrow God. The Gemara in Megillah says that Haman also made himself an Avodah Zarah. Not only that he bowed down, that he had people bow down to him, he also wore an Avodah Zarah, he made himself into Avodah Zarah. So, this is a delicate point I'm about to say, but I think if we say it right, we can still be from. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu manifests in the world through the 10 Sfiros, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives expression to himself in the world through the 10 Sfiros. Kessler through Malchus. Right? Hashem is not the Sfiros. That's why there was tremendous opposition to the idea of the Sfiros in some early, you know, Jewish philosophers. They didn't understand, what does it mean? God manifests in different... What does it mean? Hashem expresses himself in Chesed and Gvura, Tiferes. What are these things? It sounds like Kfira. It sounds like Avodah Zarah. You're dividing God into parts. We don't believe in that. Right? It has to be understood properly. But if we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu as sort of coming with his 10 madregos, expressing himself with these 10 spheros. So the sitra achra of that, the klipa of that, the negative side of that is the nachash and its 10 types of tumah, whatever that meant. And Haman and his what? And his 10 sons. In other words, the opposition to Hashem and the 10 spheros, sort of, is Haman and his 10 sons. That's the tumah that opposes Hashem, that gets us to think that, you know what? If the Jews are the underdog and the world's getting darker and darker and darker, then God has probably lost control of the script. God has lost control of the wheel. And that's why Haman, of course, Vitalu Oso Al Eitz. Haman is hung from a tree. Right? Hanged from a tree. That's the correct English way to say it. Al Sibas Eitz Hadas. Not just any tree, right? It's the tree. It's the tree of the Eitz Hadas. Zasibas Misaso. It's the same sugya. And there's a ton more to say about this. The relationship between Haman and the Nachash. As far as I'm saying, that Haman was a Gilgal of the Nachash, whatever that even means. They say that Haman is Rashi Tevos, very deep Svarim say, Haman is Rashi Tevos, Hu Mishoresh Nachash. Haman, Hu Mishoresh Nachash. Hamin Ha'etz, it's the same sugya, there's a lot there. Mordechai is Adam HaRishon, and Esther is Chava, there's a lot. There's a different.
Is it Hu Mishoresh
Nachash? Hu Mishoresh Nachash. He comes from the root of the Nachash. He is the manifestation of the Nachash. Hu Mishoresh Nachash Haman. So now, there's a big vav of gachon, as is the tradition. The vav of the word gachon in Vayikra Perakut Aleph is a big vav. So it's very similar to another big vav. But Amru, the Gemara says in Megillah, vav de Vaizasa, of the sons of Haman, the vav of Vaizasa, sarach lamim techinhu, needs to be elongated. And when I see that long vav in my Megillah, It reminds me of the long vav in the word gachon, which is the middle point of what? Of the Torah, the middle letter of the Torah according to the Gemara and Kedushin. In other words, when I'm reading the Megillah, right, and I see the downfall of Haman, I have to go back to what? To the vav gachon, and I have to say to myself, the midpoint of Torah, the essence of the Torah, the inner point of the Torah, in a certain sense, oh, that's the main lesson of the Torah, don't eat snake. No, the message of the Torah is don't believe the lies of the Yetzer Hara, don't believe the lies of the Nachash, don't believe that if you're an underdog, Hashem can't save you. Right? Don't believe that Haman is in charge. Don't believe that the sages of Athens are correct, even though they may be smart and they may be loud and they may be, you know, they may be very cynical. The big vav of Gachon and the big vav of Aizasa, the Aseres Pnei Haman, Shesarach Lemim Tachino, it needs to be elongated to make this point. And a couple of the words here, it says in footnote 804, are missing. But we seem to get the gist. Okay? Yeah?
How can we connect this back to what you were saying about admiration before?
So again, we're matching up different pieces. Adam HaRishon as an individual represents the entire world, right? He's all people and he's sort of the story of all of time. Right? Another way to look at it is to look at all of time, the 6,000 years. Another way to look at it is to look at the entirety of the Torah, right? Which is, you know, the Torah is the blueprint that created the world. Right? So again, Adam HaRishon also, he thought he messed up in such a way that the world was ruined. Right? And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him and says, Adam, what are you talking about? Ayeka, where are you? What are you talking about? Yeah, you messed up. But you don't think I can get us back on track? Right? You think this is the end of the story? It's not the end of the story. It's not the end of the story. We're gonna figure out how to get ourselves back on track. Yeah, but I got kicked out of Gan Eden. Vayigaresh, Pasuk says. Right? Gerushin. What's Gerushin? Divorce. Right? God, you divorced me. That's what every great religion against the Jews claimed. Right? The Christians claim that Hashem divorced us and took them. The Muslims claim that Hashem divorced us and took them. Right? But we remind ourselves that no, even in our lowest, even in our worst, whether again it's the Paros, who's compared by the way to a big snake, right? In the Navi, he's the Tanin Hagadol, he's the big snake. A big letter Vav almost looks like a big snake, you know? Looks like that big, you know, on Paro's hat, that big viper ready to strike. Right? So Hashem's saying to Adam, don't, it's not over. We look at our own window and we see how dark and crazy the world is. Don't worry, Hashem says, I got this. Yeah, there could have been a different path where we did better. But it's not out of our, you know, it's not over. It's not over. Vayigaresh. Even after the Gerishin, we can still, as far as I'm saying, Vayigaresh is Gematria Al-Mikra Megillah. There's a connection between getting kicked out of Gan Eden and getting back to Gan Eden through the Megillah. Right? It's sort of a return. It's, again, it's defeating the Nachash. It's sort of restoring the, again, Mordechai is this Nekuda of Malchus. It's very Mashiachic, the whole story of the Megillah. It's getting back to Gan Eden. It's showing that even after you've been exiled, even after you've been kicked out, even after you've been sold and, you know, to be slaughtered, it's not over. Okay, Va'amru, bottom paragraph of the right-hand column. Va'amru hafach levan. Now what does it mean, hafach levan, it was turned white? Ki ha'adam murka mishlosha govanam. A person is made up of three colors. Edom, Shachor, and Lavan. Now again, a lot of deep ideas here. If you look in footnote 807, it quotes from the Targum Yonasan, Ben Uziel, and Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, that when Hashem created Adam, he gathered different types of dirt from different parts of the world. Red, black, white, and yarok, which we would translate as green, probably means more yellow. And it says here in footnote 807 that the red of a person is the blood of a person, the black is his innards. I guess it's like the red blood that looks so dark, it looks black almost. Lavan, the white of a person, is his bones and his gidin, his sinews. And the arok of a person, right, the yellow-ish complexion of a person is the guf, is the flesh itself. Okay? So a person is made up of different colors. What does that mean? Edom, Shachor, Lavan. Kamosha Amru, like it says, Vayita Eshel. He planted an Eshel. Avram Avinu planted an Eshel. Says the Gra, Eshel stands for Rashi Tevos Shlosha Gavanim, these three colors, right? Adom, Shachor, Lavan. Aleph, Shin, Lamed, Eshel. Avram planted at Eshel. What does that mean? There's a lot here. There's a lot here, but let's keep reading for a minute. Kaven shiyashafech leminos. So once the government, once the world has become utterly heretical, once you hit the 49th level of Tumah, once the world hits rock bottom, by the way, the Orachaim HaKadosh writes in Shmos Perek Gimel that before Mashiach comes, we're going to have to go to level 50. 50th level of Tumah. What is the 50th level of Tumah that we wouldn't fall to a Mitzrayim? You know what it is? The Kamarna Rebbe says. He says it's Kfira Napi Korsis. It's this. The whole world has to turn to Minus. There has to be such thick Kfira Napi Korsis in the world. And from that place where it seems least likely that Hashem is ever going to make a comeback, Hashem comes, Mashiach comes, and Malahar Zideas Hashem. It's an awesome end to the show, no? It's like a great end to the script, right? Again, it would have been like a nice, it would have been nice if we were good Jews and we worked it all out. But Kadosh Baruch Hu says with some master plan, he says, watch, I'm gonna vina hafachu the whole thing. So when the whole world turns to heresy, Shuhu Lavan Mibachutz, where it's white on the outside, Marasimane Tahara. Vuhu Edom. He's saying an unbelievably deep thing here. What is the name of the Galus that we're in? Edom. Rome. Right? Western culture, Christianity, America. What is the nature of Edom? Edom. Red. Right? Adom. Haliteni nam min ha-adom ha-adom hazeh. He's one of the red soup. Yeah? It's a red, it's red, and yet it paints itself white. Yeah? They're dreaming of a white Xmas, you know? Like this, like the Niggin goes for this Lolino Holding. Listen, even Jews have to go into Walgreens this time of the year, you know what I'm saying? Like you pick up the Nigunim, unfortunately. Yeah? What does that mean? Why do they want a white Xmas? Why do they want it to be white? Right? Because it's the biggest disguise for the fact that they're red. Red is Midas Adin, white is Chesed, white is holy and pure. Yeah? It's a big joke. It's a big joke.
Hurt snow is bad.
Snow's a complicated thing. Snow's not necessarily bad.
It doesn't make sense.
It's a complicated sugya, snow. But again, look at Edom. And what animal are they compared to? Look what he says. Chazir meyar. They're compared to a pig. What does the pig do? The pig whose mom is rolling in the mud puts up its hooves and says, look, I'm tahor, I'm kosher. Look at my split hooves. But on the inside, it doesn't chew its cud. The pneumius is mamish, totally broken. Puts on a good show. The sages of Athens are putting on a good show. Rome is dominating. Western culture seems to have the upper hand. And it seems to be swallowing up Yiddishkeit. Right? It's such a threat to our spiritual well-being. Chazir meyar, shaposhe talafav, simen tarashal. Look how pure and holy I am. Right? Ukamosha amru, negat saras, is that Edom. As the Medrash says, negat, the Medrash darshans, negat saras, the Torah talks about negat saras, this is Edom. So funny, saras is white, Edom is red. It's saying exactly. You could have something that presents itself as white, but it's mamish red. Lavan. Who's Lavan in the Torah? One of the most wicked people. But he's called Lavan because he presents himself as being very righteous and innocent. He makes Yaakov feel bad, as if Yaakov is the liar. Lavan ha-arami. Lavan the trickster is the one who's painting himself to be a big tzaddik. He's a phony. This is Esav trying to what? Trying to bite Yaakov Avinu, and if I can't bite you, I'll kiss you. I'll try to befriend you, and I'll try to assimilate you, and I'll try to destroy you that way. So it looks white, but really it's red. So says Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah back to the sages of Athens, right? You think your culture, your society, your world, right? You think that this is going to be the new world order, there's never going to be a Mashiach. Kevan shenasu kula lavan ba Mashiach. The more you break the world, the more you bring Mashiach. The more you're setting Hashem up for the grand finale. He says to them, you want to know where Mashiach is? Right here, downtown Rome, in the academies of Athens. Bachem, you! The midpoint of the world, that transition from what? From the world of Torah to the world of Bimos Mashiach, you're making it happen. Behem kulam minam. The more heretical you are, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to put on such an awesome finale to the whole history of the world. And he concludes, the Vilna Gaon concludes, Amru Lehu Miyemar, so they said, now they got all feisty. They said, proven. What do you mean? That sounds crazy. You're saying our dominance of the world is going to bring your Mashiach? And he says, yes. He says, Aisu Ashle Umashchu, bring ropes and measure. Okay, Chavai Mamash has to go very super soon, so just let's do it quickly. Ha'inin Kamosha Amar. Pishnayim ba yicharsu vashlishes yivaser ba. Ve'avesias ashlishes ba'ish utzraftim kitzroif as a kesef. These are psukim in Zechariah. It says two, pishnayim, two-thirds will be destroyed, but the shlishes yivaser ba. The third, the one-third will remain, and it will undergo some type of purification in fire, kitzroif as a kesef, like a person refines silver. What are the two-thirds that are destroyed? What is the third that's going to last? The two-thirds are the first, right, 2,000 years of time. Tohu, we messed that up. Even the 2,000 years of Torah, we ruined that also. We didn't do our part. But Hashem says, no one's touching the Yemos of Mashiach. Ah, we're running behind schedule. Hashem says, hey, fine, don't worry about it. Like Vilhelm said, I don't see Mashiach. Case, you don't understand how time works. You don't understand the schedule. Right? The Navi Zechariah is saying, it's true, you may find that 2,000 years were totally wasted, and 2,000 years of Torah have passed, and Hefru Habris, and we haven't kept the covenant, we haven't done our part. But the final third will remain. Okay, so I photocopied it on the bottom for those who have, yeah, you see on these at the bottom? Bottom page, yeah? The last third, the Yemos HaMashiach, remains. Now, why did Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya say, go get ropes and we'll measure? So if you remember, in Shmuel Beis, David HaMelech is, David HaMelech, David Malkam Shicha, David HaMelech is wiping out enemies, right? And at one point, David HaMelech comes and he takes ropes and he starts measuring out the Moabites, right? It says the Pasuk, V'chein Namar, Darach Kocha Miyakov. This is Bilam speaking again. A star will rise from Yaakov, u'machatz pa'asei Moav, and he's going to crush Moav. Who's that talking about? That's talking about David HaMelech. It says in Shmuel Beis, v'yimadeid shnei chavalim lahamis v'chevel echel lachayos. David HaMelech did this weird thing. You go back, you look at the Pesukim in Shmuel Beis. It's a strange thing. David HaMelech took a rope, and he took all the enemy soldiers, and he lay them down alongside the rope, and he said, the first two-thirds are going to be killed, and the last third are going to remain, are going to live. Two-thirds lahamis v'chevel echad lachayos. What was David HaMelech doing? David HaMelech was saying to the enemies of the Jewish people, David as the embodiment of Mashiach is saying to the enemies of the Jewish people, if you ever think that you're going to wipe out the Jewish people, if you'll tell me we messed up, the world was tohu, you'll tell me we even ruined the years of Torah, but there's a one-third that belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that no one can take away. Aisu ashli umashu, take the ropes. What Rabbi Shmuel Chanani was saying to the sages of Athens, remember the story with the ropes with David HaMelech. V'amar ashli al inyan eshel, and understand again the three colors. Sometimes something looks white, but it's really red. Sometimes something looks red. We're the ones who are suffering. Midas adin. Right, like Kobe said, we went through the Holocaust. We went through the pogroms. We're the ones who are, you know, facing the spiritual opposition of our world today. But don't be fooled. Right? Don't be fooled by it. That what's red will truly turn white. Midas Adin will turn to Midas Chesed. V'luvan shlishi migvanim. And that whiteness is the third of the colors. That's that one third that will remain. The black and the red, so to speak, will be wiped out. V'zemuchach shahacha. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Chanani says, you want to know where Mashiach is? It's you guys. You guys are bringing Mashiach. You Romans with your opposition to Hashem. Hashem is just using you as a pawn. You're just a tool. You're like Haman, who's being manipulated, or Paro, who's just helping to create Klal Yisrael. Paro created the birth of the Jewish people in the first Kabbalah Satorah. Yeah? Haman created the Kimu V'Kiblu of Purim, the second Kabbalah Satorah. And this world that's happening here, right? People who left and said there'll never be Torah in America, and now we see Baruch Hashem in a Hafachu type of way. Baruch Hashem, who's, you know, allowing Torah to sprout in America, that's going to create that third and final Kabbalah Satorah with Mashiach Meher B'Minon. Yeah.
I heard the snow.
I heard a lot. Yeah, we're hard in the snow. Let's see.
I heard a